And good morning. Sorry, I thought I had the button pushed. Somebody's trying to call. We'll go straight to the phone lines.
Hello, you have reached KBJS 90.
I tell you, I just pushed and pushed and pushed on the button, and it just wouldn't take. What happens? There's a flashing light, and I push on the button until it connects, and here we go. We'll try one more time. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. My name is Julie. My husband needs help in healing hemorrhoids.
I could tell before you called today that's what we were going to talk about. I'm joking. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me get you started on this right here. As far as emergency treatment goes, there's two basic types of hemorrhoids. There's one that's internal, and I think you know what that means, and there's one that's external, which means the hemorrhoidal plexus, which is the venous system or all the veins that drain the lower part of the rectal colon. They start bulging and protruding through the rectal area. I realize this is not the greatest conversation if you're eating a bowl of oatmeal right now, but it's just, it is what it is, so let's talk about it. So, as far as emergency treatments, one of my favorites of all time is when your husband goes to bed tonight, you take, I'll just call it sterile gauze. So, if you went to the grocery store or one of the large mart stores or you know, discount city type places, if they had the gauze that you would pack a wound with, you know it's sterile. There's no infection on it. It's made of cotton or linen or something like that. All you do is just take the fresh juice of a lemon. The stuff that comes in a bottle that's pre-squeezed that has benzoates and chemicals to preserve it, I do not like that. And I also do not like green eggs and ham. But that stuff in the bottle, it doesn't have any vital life force. It doesn't have the energy that we need, and I don't think it really works. But if you take a fresh lemon, that if it fell to the ground, it could sprout forth a lemon tree, that's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
You squeeze the lemon juice directly on the gauze, and you just pack it. When I say pack it, I mean place it in contact with the hemorrhoids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Between the cheeks, I guess is what we're going to say. Sorry. Did I tell you I'm a horrible person on Saturday morning? I'm really normal Monday through Wednesday, but usually around Thursday and Friday, it all goes downhill with my... So if he could just put that in contact with the hemorrhoids, that'll cause him to draw right back into place, probably better than anything I've ever seen before.
Okay.
And so at least you have that, and it can be applied and reapplied multiple times. A gentleman asked me the day if we had to use white gauze, and I kind of looked at him. I said, really?
No, there were any other kind.
Is there any other kind? And so that's one thing. But let me switch gears, if I may.
Okay.
When your heart beats, every time it contracts, it's going to push blood from one chamber to the other, or from the pumping portion of the heart into the arterial system.
Yeah.
So, if 2 ounces of blood goes into the heart and your heart contracts, guess what comes out? 2 ounces of blood. It pushes 2 additional ounces directly into your circulatory system so it can give all the cells and tissues this oxygen-rich blood, which is, you know, it's life. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Where there's blood and oxygen, there's life. And so there's one organ, though, that the rate of blood flow entering the organ does not equal the rate of blood coming out of the organ. And so with the kidneys, blood goes in and blood goes out. With the spleen, it goes in, it comes out. With the lungs, it goes in and out. Brain the same way. But with the liver, that is not true at all. It's almost like you and your husband are at the beach, and you're walking down the beach. Actually, there's a beautiful glow on the horizon right now that I can see. It's just gorgeous. Because of the orientation of these windows at the radio station, I can see out and I can see this orange glow. But you and your husband are on the beach, and he comes across this huge sea sponge that's washed up. And he says, "Would you look at this? This looks like a sponge that you would use to, you know, bathe or clean the kids with." And so you take your bottle of water while he's holding the sponge, and you pour all the water on the sponge, and guess what happens? The sponge soaks up every bit of it, right?
Yeah.
And so I need you to think of the liver that way. And so when blood flows in the liver, it doesn't necessarily come out because there's like a sponge-like network. So I'm only saying that to kind of preface what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
These veins from the lower rectal area called the hemorrhoidal plexus, uh-huh, they drain directly into the portal vein that goes into the liver. And so if the liver is a little bit clogged up, or that the bile ducts or the biliary tree are congested, or they've got gunk in them, guess what happens? Uh-huh. All that blood starts to back up, and you have this back pressure. That's just my terminology.
Yeah.
So when you've got all this back pressure on those veins in the lower part of your rectal area, guess what? They start to, over time, they just start to break down. They start to swell and balloon. So what I'm going to tell you is, I tend to think if I do not greatly improve, clean, scrub, heal the liver and the gallbladder, I don't think I ever fix hemorrhoids at all.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, I know one thing. There's a doctor listening this morning that would say, why are y'all even doing this? Come on down. Let me cut them off. They'd be glad to. And maybe that's appropriate, because I do believe that there are things, they kind of go past the point of no return.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he's going to get a colonoscopy on Monday, but to find out stuff that he's hurting. So.
Yeah, but you know, I don't think we need a colonoscopy to let him know that he's got an issue that needs to be dealt with.
Well,
it's
yeah,
just a question. It's
that,
just a question. Oh, I know.
In case there's other stuff. So.
Well, and let me tell you what I think.
Okay.
Do you remember just a smidgen earlier I told you, if you take some sterile gauze and cover it with fresh lemon juice and you apply it, that'll make him draw back in place. So he'll literally go to bed with bulging, painful, inflamed hemorrhoids that are... I haven't had that problem, but I would imagine that's one of the top 10 annoyances of life.
Yeah.
I don't remember Job, when he was suffering, talking about hemorrhoids, but I'm sure he had them.
Yeah, probably.
He had everything else that Satan threw upon him, right?
Yes.
What is that verse that says, I know that my Redeemer lives? And I think the verse just underneath it says something to the fact that worms are eating his skin. When I think about that, I think worms. Mm. He's talking about maggots. He's talking about maggots, isn't he? That's just horrible. And so if he were to start the process of saying, okay, what are the options that I have to help my body to heal itself? That's really the best play here. Because what's he going to do otherwise? Say, hey, I'm a victim. My mom and dad had these, therefore I'm doomed to. Well, that may play a role. I'm all for believing that, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So if mom and dad had a weakness toward them, then maybe we would too. But that also means that we might have to have just a little bit more due diligence in taking care of ourselves. So,
right.
In my fantasy world, what we would do is we would probably start using what's called dandelion tea.
Okay.
Dandelion tea, they usually make it from the roots. I mean, but any part of the dandelion could be used as long as it hadn't been sprayed with Roundup or a dog named Lucky. Okay, that was a very, very bad joke anyway. But, you know, I've seen that before, so I'm thinking, I'm not touching those dandelion greens.
No. Yeah.
But you could use any part that you want. I mean, even I was reading not that long ago that one of the oldest remedies to treat warts on a person's toes or fingers or hands or anywhere else is to take that white latex that comes from the stem of the dandelion. And you rub that white latex on there every day, and it dissolves the wart. And I have found that to be completely true.
Huh.
So somewhere throughout time, someone figured out, that's weird. Uh-huh. I have been picking dandelions today, and all of a sudden the warts are falling off of my fingers. And then they said in old English, what is upeth with thateth? Okay, yeah. I really wasn't there, but I'm just assuming that's what they would say. But the roots of the dandelion, they actually contain the greatest amount of energy, and they have this deep tap root that draws upon the mineral substrate of the earth and pulls it into the plant. And so you have something that has just a tremendous, tremendous force for cleansing and healing. You know, and a buddy of mine was telling me, I won't tell you his name is Jimmy, but I'll just say a buddy of mine, it could be Jimmy, but I'm not going to call his name. But he was saying, you know, there's a reason why certain plants grow in a certain part of the soil. And he sort of taught me this through a book that he gave me. And let's put it this way. Dandelions are going to always grow where the soil is of very poor quality. And this is right. God's way of drawing all the nutrients and the minerals that are deep in the earth up to the soil where they can benefit the earth. And so this is pure brilliance. And so when you find a dandelion, the roots are going to be of the greatest importance and value to your husband. And so if he were to make dandelion tea or pick the dandelion leaves, you know, the tooth de lion.
Yeah.
What is that, French for a tooth of the lion? So,
yeah.
Was that pretty good French this morning?
Well, at least the lion part. I don't know about the rest of it.
Okay, I don't either. By the way, I don't think a whole lot of people speak French here in East Texas.
No.
And so if he could start having dandelion root tea, maybe 3-4 cups a day, if he can stomach it, I would take the juice of a fresh lemon. Mm-hmm. And I would say that lemon is going to be one of the most powerful cleansing agents and solvents for his liver and his gallbladder.
Okay.
But, of course, he has to proceed forward in faith. I did not say that he can do this just one time. It'll be an end of the story, a done deal. He'll be healed.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
I will say one application of lemon juice to the scalp in the sunshine could have turned his head blonde, but that's about all. If he will, do this from the inside, he's already blonde?
No. He doesn't have any hair up top. It's on the sides. So it looks kind of funny.
I think we should get off that topic real quick because he's probably listening right now thinking, aren't they getting distracted talking about the skin that's covering my skull? And so if we start using dandelion tea every day,
okay.
The other thing that I want to really sell him on is if I can compel him to eat one green salad a day, you can almost make it just about any way that you want. If you want to add avocados to it, if you want to add eggs, more fat, olive oil, that is good. But we've got to regain the ability of the liver and the gallbladder to do the job that God designed it to. And so this is a starting point.
Okay.
The other thing that I just think is essential, and you're just going to have to forgive me for saying it this way because I know it's going to be a little bit crude, but one of the issues is all that blood begins to stagnate and coagulate and harden. And so it's almost like chunky clots and congealed blood forms and hemorrhoids, and I just hate that because... Well, and, you know, there's lots of reasons why, but let's just say this way. When blood moves at a higher rate of speed or velocity, the blood is much cleaner, the body's healthier. It removes toxins more efficiently, and it gives you a chance to run it through the kidneys, which the kidneys are absolutely the most sophisticated, elegant, cleansing, filtration system of the human body. I couldn't design it if I wanted to. I don't even know if I can even grasp what the kidneys do. I mean, I sort of do, but they're just amazing in their creation. And we've got to take care of them. And so your husband's got a choice today. Am I going to continue eating Whataburger 3 times a day? I'm just joking. I don't know
he
that
doesn't. He... He's pretty healthy.
He does eat pretty healthy?
Yeah.
So we got to find a way to remove this congestion down low. So one of the things that I always think of, I call them the pelvic floor muscles.
Okay.
And so there's usually 2 or 3 muscle groups that I really, really look at a lot when it comes to hemorrhoids. One of them is called the hip flexor. Have you ever heard that term before?
Yeah, from you.
Well, that's strange. I don't remember discussing this topic even one time throughout my lifetime or career. No, the hip flexor is the only muscle that connects the upper torso of the body to the lower torso. But if there is a weakness in the psoas muscle, maybe it is not firing on all 8 cylinders like it's supposed to, but if there's a glitch in there, that's almost every time where you see somebody that has a persistent hiatal hernia, which is the opposite end. So maybe I could say a hiatal hernia of the stomach is a hemorrhoid of the stomach through. It's not really a hemorrhoid. It's just a bulging of the stomach up through the diaphragm, but a hemorrhoid... That would be the opposite end. And so if the hip flexor does not work efficiently, if it loses its neurological tone, if it doesn't fire properly, that could result in the contribution to hemorrhoids.
Okay.
And so internally, a person could say, okay, what am I looking at doing here to kind of help tilt the balance in my favor? Well, one thing that I think the research has proven is that we just need more fiber. And so if he likes the fiber, what'd you say?
He's been eating a lot of fiber.
What's his favorite fiber?
The beans.
Which ones?
Oh, a mix of bean sandwiches. Like, I make them like soupy. So I don't know. You know the
soupy beans.
The dark.
Gotcha.
You know the kidney beans and stuff like that. So.
Would you say for the most part that he has he ever told you that he has a very smooth, well-formed bowel movement?
Yeah.
So just for everybody else listening, probably a medium to dark brown would be the ideal color. If your body has processed the beans from one end to the other, kind of a medium to dark brown would be a normal color. But what if it was
color.
Well, but that's where I'm getting to next. Yeah. If the color was more of a lighter brown, or if it even had maybe a little bit of a yellowish or a clay color to it, or orange, those would be all indications that there's some congestion or some buildup of gunk. Gunk is not a medical word, but I like to use it all the time. But that tells me that we need to focus on the gallbladder.
Okay.
And so... But if I had my way, I would try to talk him into asparagus and bell peppers and onions.
He likes that, yeah.
Sweet potatoes and avocados.
Yes.
I demand today that he eat one avocado a day for the rest of his life.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But he's got to get his body moving. So if he were to go on, for example, YouTube and say, I don't even know what a hip flexor is. What is this Dr. Morgan guy talking about? I'm going to look in, what is a hip flexor? How can you tell what's wrong with it, and what do I do to fix it? Well, he could watch YouTube videos and learn it in about 2 nanoseconds.
Okay.
The other thing that I want him to look at, they're called the pelvic floor muscles. To me, that is a very, very big deal. And so if I'm testing those deep internal and external rotators and pelvic floor muscles, if I find a weakness, I'm telling you, I jump all over that action saying, we got to fix this right now.
Okay.
Okay. Does he like to walk every day? I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Do you like walking on the beach with him while he's looking for sea sponges?
Yeah, but we never get to the beach.
Is that because he works all the time?
Yeah, we don't live near the beach. So.
What do you mean? We live so close to the beach, it's only 800 miles away. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What does he do for a living?
Right now he's trucking, but he's going to get out of it because he believes that's not helping him. So.
Yeah, it has a way of kind of pounding and pounding and pounding some more.
Yeah. So.
Sometimes I wonder, how does a shipment of lemons survive over the road travels?
I don't know.
Anyway, I hope these things are very helpful to you.
Okay, yes. So he's eating right, but we need to do we'll do the exercises and the tea and stuff. So
if he walked for 20 minutes a day, that will go a long way to help because you're flushing out pockets of stagnant blood. You've got to do that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Most likely you have not heard of this program before, but this is on a radio station called KBJS, and it's 90.3 on the FM dial, and you're probably driving down the interstate. And you're thinking, that was so helpful, talking about hemorrhoids this early in the morning. Well, you're welcome. It's my job to help. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. About a month ago, you mentioned a bone-building supplement, which was the only one that you knew of, and I didn't get the name of that.
Okay, well, the form of calcium, just in case you want to cross-reference this. It's called MCHC. That's its abbreviation.
MCHC. MCHC, okay.
And that stands for microcrystalline hydroxyapatite.
Okay.
And so the form that I probably use more than any other, it's a raw bone calcium, which means they haven't used heat. So you know how heat has a way of changing the metrics of almost everything.
Yes.
I mean, you could peel an orange and say, hey, I'm getting a good dose of vitamin C, but what if we boil it on the stove? It's probably destroyed all the vitamin C.
I see. So
the form that I use is by standard process, and it's called Calcifood.
it's not a prescription.
No, ma'am, it's not. It's just over the counter, but the product is called Calcifood.
Calcifood, okay.
And the way it's made, and I always believe in giving full disclosure, I'm not trying to gross anybody out, but when they take a calf to the processing facility, that's probably the nicest way to call it, or
right.
refer to it. I didn't call it to the shoot of death, did I? But when they take a cow to the meat packing plant or the processor, they harvest all the ribs and the bones of the spine and the hips. And what they do is they put them in this large metal tumbler with these large ceramic bowling balls, and they turn it almost like a concrete truck driving down the road that's slowly, you know, turning and mixing the concrete before it pours it into the foundation. And so those bowling balls, as this tumbler moves around, it just crushes it into a fine powder, which is very, very efficient. And then you can take it that way. But this stuff is, I don't want to like overpromise anything, but mm-hmm. it's the brilliant, genius design of God's creation here, where he's taken a substance, and if we just consume it or know to consume it, it goes right to where our bones are weakened. And so if you told me you just had a DEXA bone scan and they've determined that the neck of your femur has a T-score of minus 2.6, you might say, oh no, compared to other women my same age, I've got significant bone loss, and they're saying that I have not osteopenia, but I now have osteoporosis.
Oh, well, I have osteopenia, yes.
Well, if you have osteopenia, then this is much better than osteoporosis.
Yes,
so,
it is. Mm-hmm.
So if you strike while the iron's hot, mm-hmm. I'm sure you know what that phrase means, don't you?
Yes. I'm old enough to know that.
Oh, so when you learned iron, you had a cast iron on the stove?
No, but I've seen others do it.
Oh, well, rats. Yeah. I was hoping you were going to teach me how to iron with one of those...
So I don't iron very much anymore.
Wait a second. Are those irons to use on clothing, or are they just to hold doors open or closed? Which one is it?
You know, I've seen it used both ways, yeah.
Okay. I think I've seen them down on the floor the most.
Yeah.
So,
but anyway, I'm on Evista, yeah. And would this be more effective for the treatment of osteopenia than Evista?
Well, okay. You're asking me a very good question, and what you're doing is you're asking my opinion, but here's what I want to say. If we lined up every known medical treatment or nutritional therapy or exercise that's known to man, that's been shown to rebuild the bones, mm-hmm. can I at least submit or present to you that the number one technique is weight-bearing exercises?
Okay.
And so that means when you walk, that is a weight-bearing exercise.
Walking.
Yes, and so I know this sounds nuts, what I'm about to say, but there's a term called a piezoelectric crystal. The only way that new bone tissue grows in the human body is if you put stress on it. And I know this is not a popular topic, but you've got to have stress and turbulence upon your body if it's going to either grow brand new bone or grow new muscle. So if you wake up one day and say, I'm just going to sit in my chair and do nothing for the next 3 weeks, and then I'm going to run a marathon, well, no, you're not. You're probably going to be doing good to even stand up and not wobble and fall back down.
Right. So you think walking and then this Calcifood and Evista ought to keep me from getting the full-blown osteosporosis?
Well, I can't answer on a here's what I would say. If you set your mind like Flint, that you're going to try to really help yourself, and you're going to go all the way to help yourself, not just part of the way, that you're going to avoid sugar as much as you can, you're going to stay away from soft drinks, because I can tell you right now, the phosphoric acid that's found in soft drinks has been shown to strip minerals from the bones probably faster than anything. The number one drink to do that is called Red Bull. I know, because I've read the studies, so you have got to give up your six-pack of Red... Did I say something funny?
I love Coke Zero.
Oh, well, that's a whole different level of evil then. I didn't.
Yeah.
Are you going to repent of that evil right now?
Actually, I'm fasting off of it for the month, and it's killing
me. Oh, wait. Yeah. What's your definition of killing?
Well,
I have a different definition of mine. No, but, I'm so proud of you. That's really good. You know what I would tell you? If you could start to get your pleasure and your satisfaction from sparkling water.
sparkling water. Okay?
And just add lime or lemon to it. I would rather you take a little bit of honey and some lemon or lime. At least that way you're putting something living in your body that can restore you and strengthen you.
Yeah, that's
important. I'm gonna ask you just a very simple question. Do you need strength to keep pressing on and doing the very thing that God has designed you for?
Well, at 76, you know, it gets a little harder every year.
I didn't ask you that question, though. I mean, but do you feel like that you have a purpose in living?
Well, yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, so every time that you drink your natural lemonade from sparkling water, that's a vote that I want to be strong and I want to be ready and I want to keep going and pressing on.
Okay, I'll do that too then.
Sorry, I'm kind of pushy today. Forgive me for that. Here I am trying to force you against your will to have strong bones. How dare I? No, but if you do those things, that will put you in a much, much better place.
Yeah, and Avista is really not doing much at all, huh?
Well, no, it has an effect. But what I would say is I never want to overlook the technique of just feeding the bones. And so if you feed your bones the calcium food, you're in a good place. And actually, let me tell you two more things. This is called the bonus track.
Okay.
I'm joking about that. Yeah, this is bonus information that you're getting for free.
That's for me. I like
but
those.
But I can tell you right now, I'm only doing this for you.
I appreciate
it. I would not do it for the other callers today or the next one. And I would not do that. But on the bonus information, there is a mineral that's known as magnesium.
Right.
And so
you
what
take
I want,
too much of that, though, and you end up on the toilet a lot, you know.
Well, if you're constipated, that's not that horrible, is it?
Well, I don't normally get that way.
Well, you know what? This is weird because yesterday I had six women that said, Dr. Morgan, I sit on the front row of a very large church on a Sunday morning, and I told them, I said, I need you to trust me on this. I want you to take an entire bottle of magnesium about 10 minutes before you go to church and just report back to me what happens. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
I'm joking.
How many milligrams you eat?
Well, I think you're going to have to follow the manufacturer's recommendations. And so if you buy a bottle of magnesium, all I'm trying to compel you to consider is that magnesium probably has much more to do with the literal strength and the integrity of your bones than what calcium does.
Is that right?
It really is, and you can look it up for yourself. And so I know these are perplexing things to kind of, but at least I'm trying to shift you toward getting stronger, but magnesium plays a role. And there's one fat-soluble vitamin. I'm sure you've heard of it, but I'm going to be redundant. It's called minoquinone, and sometimes they call it vitamin K2. Now, I know when you're on the street corner, and there's some guys, you know, listen to rap music, and their pants are way down super low, you know, where the kind where their underwear is hanging out.
Hell yes.
And if you ask them for K2, they're not going to present you the vitamin. It's going to be something completely different. So don't do that.
No, I would never do that.
I know you would not have figured that out if I hadn't explained that to you.
I learned so much from you.
Oh, yes, I'm just full of... let me see. All right, I think we have another caller coming.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All righty, bye-bye.
Have a great day, bye.
Oh, she was so sweet. If you would like to join me on the radio, this program is called Health Essentials. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If you have a question, let's do it. Let's talk about how to improve your health and make you stronger. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Oh, you're such a good girl turning your radio off.
Yes.
Way to go. I'm giving you an A+.
Thank you. I need one.
How long has it been since you've gotten a good grade on your conduct report card in school?
Let's don't talk about that.
Okay, moving right along.
Okay.
How can I help?
Yes. My son-in-law has had 2 knee surgeries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's a young fella. And he has scar tissue buildup even before they can get him up, get him going good. And the doctor said they've never seen that much scar tissue build up so quickly.
Yeah.
And he's even had a manipulation
To break it up or tear it apart, yeah.
Yeah, and that didn't do any good. So I was wondering if you had any clue as to what he could do.
Now, I don't want to make assumptions that aren't correct, but he's in pain all the time, isn't he?
Yes.
I think that's one of the hallmarks of persistent scar tissue is it's just, it generates a lot of pain.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've got an idea. I've got a bunch of ideas. Actually, I have no lack of ideas on this topic right here, but you have to understand that whatever I tell you, I want you to take it as these are things that we can try, but I don't want you to think for 1 second that I'm trying to overpromise anything to you and I'm promising you the moon and the stars, but I'm going to deliver this to you as things that can be tried to see if we can see a significant improvement, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Can I just do it in the order that I want to?
Yes.
Okay. Number one, he has to get like a 6-gallon bucket. He has to fill it with water, and he has to put ice in it. And he has to stand in it and cover his knees. I need to submerge the lower part of his legs and his knees in very, very cold water for 10 minutes a day. This will cause his body to start releasing what are called cold shock proteins. Oh, yes, the body is convinced it's about to freeze to death, and it must do something differently. So that is one technique, and I have found that so indispensable to taking care of the health of people's knees that I cannot talk myself out of mentioning to you, even though it's brutal. Number two, I'm pleading with him to take his shoes and socks off and have faith in what I'm saying, to walk barefoot upon the earth and the grass and the dirt and the pine needles and twigs and weeds and everything else. If he can do that, he will start the process of telling his body to start growing brand new nerves and blood vessels and veins. If he does not do that, he can tell me he won't do it, and I will say he will not get well, but that's his call. But I want him to walk barefoot for 15 minutes a day. I don't care if there's snow outside. Actually, I haven't seen any snow outside. Well, he could live in Minnesota for all I know. So if he'll do that, that's number two. Number three, I am the greatest fan in this type of situation of trying to dissolve the scar tissue. And I know that's not going to make logical sense, and there's probably several medical doctors that normally believe everything I say, but they're going to say, I don't believe this part right here. But if it were me, I would start applying lemon juice to the outside of the knee, and I would just get a fresh lemon, put the juice on the knee, let it air dry. Let his scar tissue drink up the lemon juice. Let it be absorbed deep into the flesh. Your skin, his skin, will soak it and drink it and absorb it. It will lick it up. Okay, I might be going too far on the lick it up business, but if you will start to do this, we can start to dissolve and to break that stuff down. I would start rubbing Arnica Montana gel on that painful inflamed tissue several times a day, just like I would the lemon juice. And we need to start breaking that scar tissue up. You start grabbing the skin and tugging and pulling on it, but you've got to start doing exercises to get the job done. And so when it comes to the knees, I would be curious if he would have deep in his heart a desire to go through the painful process of maybe doing knee exercises. There's just no way around it. I mean, if I had my way, I would have him probably get on a recumbent exercise bicycle, and I would have him pedal for 5 minutes every hour if he could. If he can't, then I would hit it morning and evening, before work and after work. And then after doing all that, I'd probably put some heat on there. They sell, there's one. Do you have a pencil handy?
Yes, I'm writing all this down, because I won't remember it 5 minutes from now.
All right.
Okay.
I wish I wasn't doing this to you, but I'm going to have to go to, okay, let me see right here. I'm going to go to eBay because I want to make sure I get this right. I think it's DPL Flex. Oh, there, DPL, okay, I found it. Found it!
Good.
Okay. Okay, here it is right here. It's called DPL Flex Pad Pain Relief LED Light. $85.
EPL.
Flex. FLEX. That's his name right there. If you were to go on Amazon.com or eBay or any other type of e-commerce, you could type in DPL FlexPad. He could use that sucker 2 hours a day on the knees. Very, very safe for knee replacements.
Okay.
Here's one for $99. Here's one for $121. But there's one for $85. Now, it says on here that it is pre-owned. I really just think they mean that it was opened, the box was opened maybe to show somebody and they took the plastic wrapping off. But it should be essentially in like new condition. If you want to go on Amazon and pay $160 for it, that's up to you, but I would buy it for $85.
Yeah, right.
But that right there is going to go a long way to stimulate healing. Oh, my word. Can I tell you something else?
Yes.
Okay. There was a study done recently where they took women that had very severe fibromyalgia. I know he doesn't have fibromyalgia, but I'm just trying to make a point here. I mean, you've heard of fibromyalgia, haven't you?
Yes, I have it.
Okay. Well, let me kind of just pose this idea to you, and you tell me what you think. In order to be in this particular study, these women had to have fibromyalgia symptoms for 10 years duration without relief. And you know what that means. I don't have to spell it out for you, but no matter what the doctors would prescribe as far as pharmaceutical drugs to change the symptoms, it just flat out didn't really fix anything or work. Right?
Right.
Okay. In this study, they asked the women, would you be willing to use an infrared sauna? And they said yes. And I want to say it was used on two different occasions. So they had one session, and maybe they waited 4 days or a week, and they did a second session. Okay? I need to go back and reread it. I've already forgotten half of it. And the other thing that I can't remember is I don't know if it was at 140 degrees or 125 or 120. I don't remember. So, sorry, don't remember. But what impressed me was they did a follow-up questionnaire at the six-week mark. So they did the two sauna sessions from the infrared sauna, and 6 weeks later, they did a survey of the women, and lo and behold, almost all of them had the same result. They said that their perception of pain, it was a 50% improvement, or the pain was 50% less, or it had diminished by 50%. Something, you know, along those lines. And they started saying, well, why would that happen? What would be the net effect? And they noticed something very interesting. And I'm gonna come back to this, but they took long-distance runners. And they said, would you be willing to do the same thing? And these are people that don't have fibromyalgia. And they said, would you do two really hot saunas? And I want to say these were at 160 degrees. I don't know if you know what 160 degrees is, but you could probably cook a turkey or, you know, something in that oven. I think, if I'm not mistaken, when my mother would read me the story of Hansel and Gretel when I was a little boy growing up, she would always bring the point up, now, Roy, she used the temperature of 160 degrees to warm it up to put Hansel in the oven. And I would go, oh, I guess I better be good, shouldn't I? But to make a long story short, when they took these long-distance runners that were in great working order and they gave them exposure to two infrared sauna sessions at 160 degrees for, I don't know, 30 minutes maybe, they noticed something very unusual. They said, oh, my word. They can run 34% longer until they reach fatigue compared to what they can do before. And they said, why is that? And they said, well, we think it's the same effect that we have with these women that have fibromyalgia or somebody has a lot of pain. And they found out there is a very precise neurotransmitter that's produced by your body. And this neurotransmitter is called norepinephrine. Have you ever heard the term norepinephrine?
Nope.
If you had a five-year-old boy in kindergarten and the teacher calls you on the phone and she says, let me tell you about your son, little Billy. He won't concentrate in class. He will not pay attention. Instead of focusing on, well, I kind of set you up for that, didn't I? But if she says he will not pay attention, he can't focus, That is a norepinephrine issue. So if a pediatrician who is all too willing to prescribe a drug to a child that has ADD or attention deficit disorder or hyperactivity, they'll give them a drug, but guess what the drug does? The drug increases norepinephrine. And so these women that had fibromyalgia and they had this pain that wouldn't diminish, all of a sudden it's beginning to diminish because the infrared sauna, it stimulates the body's production of norepinephrine. And norepinephrine increases oxygen delivery to the muscles, and it improves the performance of the muscles. And so, forgive me for being blunt, but my definition of fibromyalgia is you're swimming in your own metabolic waste and the toxins will not drain. It's like a sewage tank that's overflowing. So the muscles are swimming in their own metabolic waste, and that's why you hurt all the time. So we got to clean that up. But in this study, they used an infrared sauna to get very exciting results just with two sessions.
Wow.
And so when we take this DPL FlexPad light and put it over your son-in-law, is this your favorite son-in-law?
Yes. My only are son-in-law.
Well, you didn't have to say that.
That's the family joke around here. I have one daughter, and I say, oh, to my favorite daughter, or to my favorite son-in-law, or to my ever, how old they are, grandchild.
Well, what do they say to you?
You're my favorite. Laugh at me. Uh-huh. Another joke, Nanny.
Okay, so that... that DPL FlexPad, what that will do is that will on one level start emitting some infrared wavelengths of energy into that painful knee.
Right.
It may be a little bit warm, but it would be nothing like what the sauna would be. How would you like to go into an oven at Hansel and Gretel's, you know, the evil witch's house? That wouldn't be too fun, would it?
No.
You know what, though? I appreciate Hansel, though, very, very much. Because every time the evil witch wanted to feel his finger to see if he was fattening up, he would take a chicken bone and let her feel that, and she would say, nope, he's not ready yet. I mean, that kid is so clever. As you talk about survival skills, he's got it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, if I had a chihuahua, I would name him Hansel. What do you think that's a good name?
Yes, I do.
You know what my other choice is for naming a dog?
What?
Oogway. All right, moving right along.
Okay.
Well, those are things that I would have him consider and think about, but what we have to do is we have to take, if he's generating all this scar tissue, there's one herb that I would ask him to consider thoughtfully. It's called go-to cola. So anytime a person has the world record for generating the most scar tissue formation, then we have excess collagen synthesis problem going on. And so on one level, it could be a person trying to, you know, pierce their own ears or pierce their nose, which I will never understand that, but that's the way it is.
Yeah. Or their tongue. Yeah.
I'm not getting that one either. But then again, you know, when the servant of Abraham went to the well, didn't he give a nose ring to Rebecca?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't there. I wonder if they have any... video trail cameras for camels to see the camel population, and they saw that on... Anyway, I'll have to double check.
Yeah.
So the herb is called go-to cola. So if you pierce your ear and it forms a keloid, that's excess collagen synthesis. That means the body's kind of gotten out of the natural scheme of things, and it's overproducing collagen. And it may be that's what your son's doing in response to inflammation. So... But then again, I mean, there's more to it than what I'm telling you, but at least get him rolling on these things and see if we don't see enough of improvement where he's very, very encouraged.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Let me know how it works out.
Thank you very much.
You're
Have
welcome.
A blessed day.
Oh, you too. Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty. There is a phone line open. This program is Health Essentials. The phone number here at the station, which I don't know that I've really given it out more than one time. My apologies to you. But if you'd like to call, it is area code 903-586-5257. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Oh, Dr. Morgan, thank you very much. I have a question. You were talking about vitamin D3 with K2, and I remember several months back, or perhaps a year, you mentioned D3 with K7, which I'm taking. Could you tell me the benefits of the K7 as opposed to the K2?
I think K7 is actually a form of K2 also, minoquinone 2 and minoquinone 7, but I think they're both metabolites of vitamin K2, but that's a fat-soluble vitamin. One of the main roles is to ensure that your body can transport calcium from the bloodstream to where it actually belongs. And so I'm not trying to make a joke by saying this, but if you had a meal of broccoli with butter on top of it and salmon with lemon juice and butter and mashed potatoes with butter, that would all be calcium-rich food right there.
Okay.
You just want to make sure it doesn't build up in your arteries or your joints, because you don't want to say, great, every time I eat something with calcium in it, it goes right to my fingers. Now I can't even make a fist. It's painful. I have arthritis. Vitamin K2, if it does its job, it makes sure that you can get the calcium to the bones and the teeth where it belongs. The other thing that I want to pose to you is, where all energy takes place, or all energy production takes place, it's in your cells in a small structure called a mitochondria. That may be like a new term for you, but one of the roles of vitamin K2 is to make sure that you can adequately transport fuel, you know, like fat, into the mitochondria where it can be burned for energy. And so one of the side effects of low K2 is you tend to have achy joints, and you're stiffer in the morning when you wake up than when you went to bed at night. And you just don't have the energy, and you don't feel like you're as hardy as what you'd like to be. And when you don't feel real hardy, there might be some things that kind of set you off, and you're thinking to yourself, why is this stressing me? This did not stress me a month ago. The other thing that you probably need to be concerned about is that K2 is very important to improving a woman's fertility. So I've got to warn you here. If you start taking K2, it's going to make you very fertile. I heard you laugh at me, ma'am, and I'm not so sure I appreciate that, because I'm telling you the honest gospel truth on it. So you can't say I didn't warn you. If you become highly fertile and you become with child, you cannot say that Roy Morgan did not warn you.
Okay, well, you're funny. I'm 82. That's why.
Well,
I'm
how old was Sarah? I rest my case.
Thank you. All right, one more question. Is it okay to just take the K2 rather than the K7? Would they both be the same benefit?
Well, if you get vitamin K2, like in a capsule form, a lot of times those are made with what's called a yeast fermentation process. So if you take it with food, I think it kind of works hand in glove with the chemistry of the body better. And so what I would look for is, and I don't know your situation in totality, but let's just say that you don't have as much energy as you want, or as much strength, or maybe your mind is not as clear as you'd like it to be. If you take K2, you might tell me that, you know what, my joints don't hurt, my hips feel better. So you can just very safely put to the test, but usually it's very safe to take.
Okay. Well, that's good. I take the D3 with the K. Well, it was K2. I'm doing right now. I've got K7. I just picked it up at Drug Emporium yesterday. And also, earlier to a call, I have osteopenia, and they recommended I take the drug, and I said, no, thank you. There's too many side effects, and I don't have much arthritis. I'm active. I walk. I still work.
You do? Wow. I want to be like you when I grow up.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I don't wake up stiff. I'm good. I've just recovering from torn meniscus in the left knee, and that's taking longer than I thought, but then I guess my age may have something to do with that.
What did they say to you when you told them about the side effects of taking those bone-building drugs? What did they say?
Oh, well, they've been on the market for at least 13 years, and I said, doesn't prove anything.
you are tough to convince, aren't you?
Well,
was that their only comeback? But they've been on the market for 13 years?
yes, and it will help. Well, I don't want to take that chance. I don't want to jeopardize my health. I also have hives, constant, been for years.
Oh, no, itchy. I don't like that. Goodness, who would want hives?
They recommend.
I mean, unless you're a beekeeper or something, that's different.
Yeah. They recommended a shot that could end up in anaphylactic shock, and I said, okay, forget that one, too.
Yes, ma'am. Even though you're in your 80s, we're going to give you a shot that may kill you, but we're willing to take that risk. Will you be paying with cash or check? No, that's a joke. I didn't mean that. Okay.
No, it's okay. Well, listen, I have taken notes on everything you said today. And I do take...
Oh, no. Everything?
Just almost everything. I take Bone Health, which is what I get from Drug Emporium. And
okay,
I
good
take
girl.
And I drink lots of milk.
Oh, listen, I'm impressed with you. When you tell me you go to the Drug Emporium to get a supplement to help yourself, you're voting to extend the quality of your life so you can be productive in service of our living God. This is beautiful.
Oh yes,
you're my hero.
Oh well, you're my hero. So how about that, Dr. Morgan? Thank you.
So welcome. Thank you for your phone call today, and we appreciate you very, very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you as well.
Oh, thank you. Bye bye. All right, there is a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. There's approximately 8 minutes, give or take, left in the program if you'd like to join me on the air for a phone call. If not, I was going to talk about asparagus. I guess we'll go to the phone lines instead. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Hi, Dr. Morgan. Yes, I wanted to ask you about the infrared saunas you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a concern I was reading about the safety of the EMS.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think that's legitimate, but let me say it this way, and this is not going to be technically correct. I'm going to have some people, their only choice for an infrared sauna is going to be a very inexpensive one. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's just because they don't have money. So you tell me, what would you do if somebody would benefit from an infrared sauna, but they might get some EMFs, even though the benefits outweigh the risk? I'm willing to tell them to go ahead and try that and see if they feel a lot better. And, you know, I had a woman call me on the phone yesterday, and this was her question. You're going to think that I'm making this up. Well, I mean, I could be making it up, but I'm not. But the woman, she said, Dr. Morgan, how often can I do this? And I thought to myself, why is she asking me how often she can do a sauna? Where's she going with this? And I said, well, what do you have in mind? She says, are you kidding me? I feel so good from doing it. I just don't know if I can do it just one time a day. I said, of course. I said, as long as you're drinking water and you don't dry up like a raisin, we'll be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so in her case, she's using a lower end. But no, I completely agree with you. If you have enough blessings of finances from God to where you can afford one of those infrared saunas that don't emit all the electromagnetic radiation, then that's great. That's ideal. But not everybody can spend $3,000 or $5,000 on a sauna, right?
Right.
But they have some great saunas that are very low to no EMFs. Man, I like them.
Do you have any recommendations on ones that would be good to purchase?
Oh, Wendy told me the brand is like, it's either Sunshine or Sunlight, Sunlight Waves. What is it, Wendy? I'm talking to myself right now.
Oh.
Anyway, it's something to do with sun or sunlight.
Okay, and is there a website you can go to?
Do you know what my recommendation would be, just very, very simply? I would go to YouTube and I would type in best infrared sauna with low EMFs. And
okay.
let somebody give you a sales pitch on the five or six top manufacturers, and you just go, okay, what's doable here? But I'm telling you, the idea of an infrared sauna, you may have heard me talk about the study of the men, you know, from Finland that used They had one group of men that averaged four times a week with using an infrared sauna versus men that never used a sauna. And the results were the men that never used the sauna, they absolutely had the most occurrence or the development of Alzheimer's and dementia. Mm-hmm. And the men that used the sauna four times, oh my goodness, they had like the lowest levels of heart disease. And no dementia. I don't know about you, but I would not be very fond of developing dementia or Alzheimer's.
Right.
Which, you know what the numbers are showing now, don't you? They're bad.
Mm-hmm.
They show, the latest studies show that 40% of all Americans are going to have to deal with cancer. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
They showed, 26% of all Americans are going to have really significant heart disease or coronary heart disease, however you want to say it. Then mm-hmm. there's going to be, I think, is it 25% are going to have to deal with a significant amount of diabetes? Well, you notice I'm talking between a quarter to nearly half the population are going to have a significant problem. Well, the newest numbers are showing 10% of the population is going to have Alzheimer's. 10%! Mm-hmm. We should be talking about like 1 in 2 billion, but that's not the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
That means we have a large boulder, or I should say a snowball, shouldn't I? Since it's wintertime. The snow is rolling. It's building up a head of steam and is collecting more snow and is getting bigger and bigger. Well, I don't want to be in front of that big snowball when it rolls down the side of the mountain. So it's coming. So unless somebody does something different, and so... If you say, well, what about the idea of using a sauna?
Mm-hmm.
I read the... I'm sorry, I haven't had water all morning. It's probably starting to show, but let me say this. One study that I read recently, what they did was they said, what if we used oral chelation therapy to rid the body of its toxic burden of mercury? And I think most people know that mercury is absolutely one of the most toxic heavy metals. You are never better off by having mercury in your body. It disrupts everything. It will mess you up. Mm-hmm. And so they tried oral chelation therapy. Then they tried IV chelation. This is where you go and submit to one of those alternative medical doctors where they use EDTA or other chelating devices, $200 a pop for 30 sessions. You can do the math on that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they use an infrared sauna. And they showed that the sauna, the mercury just comes rolling out of the body so well.
Wow.
So let's just say that there is a gentleman that runs a tire shop that did a hair test, and the hair test comes back that maybe he's got a small amount of mercury that's coming out of him. Well, is he going to take time off to work and go to a clinic to have it done, or would a sauna work better? Well, the sauna works better at helping to detox mercury.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for your input. We will do some more research on that.
Do you want to? I just had a lady send me a text. She has a sauna. It's called Sunlighten, and she's got one that she wants to sell at a bargain price.
Okay.
But I don't know how to do it on the air, because if you give me your phone number, as beautiful as your voice sounds, you're likely to have a whole bunch of weird men call and say, would you like to go out on a picnic today? No, but I do have, if you want to call my office, I can give you my office number, and you can leave your phone number on my answering machine and just tell me your first name, and I could just quickly send you this woman's phone number.
That would be great. I will call your office.
Do you know what my office number is?
No. Would you give it to me?
I don't mind at all. It's 903- 586-8114. And just leave a message. Say, I'm the lady that talked about heavy metal poisoning. Actually, I talked about that. But you say I talked about the sauna, and I'll give you the woman's phone number, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right, good deal.
Okay.
Thank you for time. Oh, you too. Thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate you very, very much.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I can tell by looking we are completely out of time. Sorry. I meant to talk about asparagus and bell peppers and broccoli today, but we'll get to that next week. Lord willing, right? If the Lord wills. You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, and Longview.